How do you understand your company's reputation as an employer? Metrics vary from company to company, making it hard to benchmark your progress against competitors. This is where the Employer Brand Index comes in. It analyzes what employees, candidates, and alumni are saying about your company and quantifies these findings into a single score. We can even dive into your talent competitors to really understand how competitive your employer brand is. Our team of talent analysts collect all available data points, discover patterns, and deliver a report full of insights and recommendations. Want to know more? Go to employerbrandindex.co.
Hey, sans Vason! It's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. In this episode, we will be speaking to a global company selling fast-moving consumer goods whose purpose it is to make sustainable living commonplace. This company has recently launched a new EVP, and today we're going to learn all about it. Let's start the show. Anurasan, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Delighted to be here.
Fantastic. So please tell our listeners who you are and what you do.
Anurasan, from Unilever. I have the privilege of doing not one, but two jobs that I'm very passionate about. In one role, I partner our home care division. Our home care division is one of Unilever's three business divisions, and we build and sell great brands like Omo, Persil, Domestos, Comfort. And my second role, I have the absolute privilege of shaping and building Unilever's employer brand, something that I've always been very, very passionate about. So, like I said, it's a real privilege.
Great. So home care is one division. What are the other two?
Beauty and personal care and food and refreshment.
Okay. So Magnum ice creams would fall into the latter one, yes?
Yes. Good guess.
Yeah. Great. Okay. How would you describe the corporate culture at Unilever, and what made you join, and also what keeps you there?
So when I joined Unilever, surprisingly, I didn't know so much about Unilever. What I knew was that it was the most aspirational company that came to our campus to hire. It was the company that everyone wanted to be a part of. Of course, I knew that they made Lifebuoy and Dove and Ben & Jerry, but I didn't know the intricacies of what the business was. What the simple thing was that it was the most aspirational place to be, and that anyone who made it through their interview process felt so thoroughly selected that that interview process itself was a success in itself. So like I said, that's how it all began. That's how I joined. Why I've stayed on is another matter. What I love the most, lots of things. But the first and foremost is the fact that this is not just a business that cares about performance and business results. It's a business that cares about making a difference. Of course, we want to build a successful business that creates results and profits, but we also want to create a better world, and we want our employees and stakeholders to be part of this journey. The values and professional ethics that stem from the legacy that Unilever has and that are sort of kept up with this larger purpose it really spoils you. It's a culture that makes you want to come in and give your best every day. 20 years down the line, I've been through so many different experiences and roles, and yet there's never been a sense of fatigue or boredom, and that's what's really kept me going across different roles, across different geographies, across different parts of the business. The quality of people you interact with, bosses, peers, and ultimately the fact that you're not just a job title, but the fact that you can give more of yourself, you want to give more of yourself, I guess that's enough reasons why I stayed on.
So when I think of Unilever, one word really springs up to me, and that's sustainability.
Yes.
And tell me how that's part of the whole business strategy.
So a lot of businesses talk about sustainability. So there is business strategy and sustainability.
Mm.
What is different in Unilever is that the business strategy has sustainability at its heart.
Yeah.
And so the way we build our brands, the way we craft different processes across the business are all sustainable by design. And that's where, and we have a clear roadmap and goals that we've set across, over the next 4 or 5 years. But the big difference is that it is at the heart of everything we do. And everyone who is a part of Unilever is enrolled in this, feels bought into this, and feels proud of this.
Fantastic. All right. And how many employees does Unilever have?
175,000.
Wow. Okay. And I can imagine you, like every other company, you have talent challenges. What might they be?
So, first of all, I'd like to say, share something that we are all quite proud of, that today our attractiveness as an employer is at an all-time high, as we measure it through campus surveys, across university scores across the world, and we are number one employer of choice in more than 40 markets where we hire.
Mm.
But even as we raise the bar on our attractiveness, our talent context is being disrupted. Just like our customers and channels are being disrupted, the talent canvas is no longer homogenous. The talent needs in different parts of our business are different, and therefore there's no one size fit all.
Mm.
And therefore, the need for us to be able to shape and deliver a talent strategy that can be successful in a world of seeming paradoxes, where on one hand you have surplus talent, where as technology looks to replace people. Equally, on the other hand, you have real talent gaps in areas where you want to ramp up skills. So whether it's digital or whether it's precision marketing, these are areas where we need to build skills in the future, and yet there are gaps. So there's this, dichotomy of too little and too and not enough at the same time. Equally, talent itself, there are paradoxes in what they aspire for. On one hand, you hear millennials who want to, search for purpose and meaningful experiences.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, they are no different from any other generation in the need for progression, quick rewards. That itself is a paradox. So I think it's not a simple one size fit all, and the need to be able to flex your talent strategy. Equally, the context of what one looks at as talent is different. It's no longer, even if it's 170,000 people, it's no longer these people who are the only people who we think of as talent. There is the extended workforce, the extended ecosystem of people who may come and work with us part-time or in for a short time. But, increasingly it's this extended ecosystem that we have to think of as talent. And those are some of the challenges, to be able to attract, or to be able to be attractive, to be able to have prime access to different diaspora of talent. These are some of our challenges.
And, of course, the follow-up question to that is, how does your employer brand strategy fit in with that? How do you overcome these challenges?
Exactly like I said, that the employer brand strategy draws from the talent challenges that I spoke of.
Yeah.
The need to be attractive in a world that is increasingly disrupted, where there is no one size fit all. So there is no one employer brand campaign or one employer brand message. Of course, there is a core employee value proposition.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you can't have one global employer brand and rest on that. Every employer brand battle, every talent challenge is won in the market. That's where the moment of truth is. And therefore, to be able to win globally and win locally, that's at the heart of our employer brand strategy. Equally, it's sort of moving away from a view where you want to win everywhere to winning where it matters. From, like I said, from a consistent approach to a differentiated approach, depending on what are the specific micro segments of talent that you want to hire in a particular part of the business. For example, in our Chinese business, we want to ramp up e-commerce and digital talent, and so to be able to find the right place at the right time. The second thing about the employer brand strategy is that it's no longer about one top-down campaign on attractiveness, which is communicated by the company. That's no longer the single source of truth. As you know, talent is everywhere, and there are conversations about you, around you, that you don't control. And therefore, the employer brand strategy or the employer brand has to be something which is very, very consistent with the real employee experience. And therefore, it's not sort of an outside-in, but it's an inside-out build employer brand and employer brand strategy. And those are some of the pillars of our employer brand strategy. If I were to put it in a nutshell, it is about building an employer brand which is more relevant. Like I said, more relevant and tailored to different talent needs and micro-segments. It is about creating more awareness and advocacy through great campaigns, global and local. And it is finally being able to attract the best talent, right talent at the right place.
Absolutely. Okay, so, but you do have an overall EVP, a global EVP, which I then take you localize. But if we look at the EVP, which has recently been launched, tell us about how it came about and what does it contain, what are the pillars, and what does it look like?
Like you said, we've recently relaunched our employer brand or employee value proposition, as you call it. And it's something that we feel very proud of. And I think it's a real privilege. This is not work that happens every day or every year. So what you do is a legacy that you leave for the business for the next 3 or 4 years at least. What we've done is we've approached it. So, you know, Unilever is a Unilever is a company that builds great brands. And so our employer brand has to be a reflection of the quality of brands that Unilever builds. So we've approached this employer brand building exercise just like we craft any of our other product brands. And we completed an exhaustive piece of research covering 300 internal and external voices. We benchmarked our competitors, other employer brands that we think are aspirational, and extensively tested and validated it with talent internally, externally, marketing leaders, our different target audiences. And in that process, we learned that for an employer brand to be credible, it has to be, you know, for an employer brand to make impact, it has to be credible, relevant, differentiating, aspirational. And at the end of that process, we came up with, if I were to sum up the one line of our employer brand, it is come and be part of a movement to create a better business, a better world, and a better you. That is our employer brand, and that is uniquely Unilever. Underpinning that, there are 3 or 4 attributes that make Unilever very distinct from any other employer, any other organization. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about these. The first, again, goes back to what I said about sustainability being at the core of everything we do. So the power of purpose is at the heart of our employee experience offering to anyone who wants to be a part of this business, where we say that you are empowered to make a positive impact on the world and our business by bringing your purpose into action. So this is more than a job. This is an opportunity to really make a difference by doing something you're passionate about. The second pillar or attribute is you can be a catalyst to change. For change in the world, you can unleash your curiosity, you can disrupt processes, you can use your pioneering spirit to make things happen. The third one is around our diverse and inclusive culture. That just like our brands, Dove, Lipton, Ben & Jerry's, Magnum, are all different, and yet they come together under one Unilever umbrella. As individuals, we are all different, and yet we can bring our real self to work. And in Unilever, we can combine our differences to achieve greater things. And the fourth pillar is that this is not just a company. This is a place where you can go beyond, where you can, the quality of experiences, the quality of interactions, and you give more and you get more. So purpose, power, be the catalyst, brilliantly different together, and go beyond. Those are the 4 attributes of our brand. And like I said, that's what's uniquely Unilever.
So uniquely Unilever, if you were to pick out one out of these four, which one you think is even more unique than unique? What's
the purpose power.
Purpose power.
Purpose power.
Interesting. Okay. Right. So you've launched EVP fairly recently. Now, what's going to happen next? How will you communicate and activate this?
So, like I said, launching, it's very easy to come up with a statement, a few words, which mm-hmm. we all get excited about. But at the end of the day, it has to be translated and it has to help us win the best talent in the various markets where we win the employer brand battle.
Yeah.
And so really what's happening next is that we will deploy a number of global and local channels, digital, face-to-face, online, to give wider reach to our employee value proposition. We will. We've also created a hero campaign, which is designed to boost brand awareness. And I would encourage you to see it, Jürgen. It's something that we feel really, really proud of. It's called You're More Than Your Job Title. And it basically brings out this whole notion of purpose power, which is so core to us as a brand. And we believe that this will generate a lot of conversations and be a real vehicle for employee advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we are not the people who build the employer brand. It's our employees. It's our employer brand managers in over 50 markets. And they will work with us to tailor strategies and local activation ideas to bring this to life. And so the totality of this is what will make this come alive.
Fantastic. And this hero campaign, where can our listeners find that? Is it on YouTube?
It is on LinkedIn. It's on our careers.com site. It's on Facebook, Instagram.
So they can't miss it, basically.
They can't miss it.
Great. And in terms of sourcing talent, getting talent into Unilever, what is the best challenge for you? What are the best sources of hire in terms of job board or the career site or social media, referral programs?
We use a multi-channel or an omni-channel approach, if I were to use language that the business is using these days. So our biggest source of talent are, online and social digital sites, including our own career site and mm-hmm. LinkedIn, among others, where we not only post jobs, but really work hard to create high-quality content which allows prospective hires to engage with us, to know a little bit more about our brands. Glassdoor and other online local job boards like Kunulu, Love Mondays, these mm-hmm. are all sites where we that we use to source talent. Employee referrals remain a really good source of quality candidates, as employees are our best ambassadors, and if you have high quality talent, they must have high quality networks, and so really to tap into those.
Yeah.
And we continue to build strong relationships with local universities and student associations for our early careers program. So it's a combination of these three.
And your referral program, do you offer a finder's bonus if someone helps a friend get a job?
Different markets use different approaches.
Right.
So we don't have one global approach to this. Depends what job and depends what the context is. But yes, from time to time, we have done that.
And how tough that talent market is, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. And are there any...
But the other thing is that we believe that if you are a true employee advocate, you should feel the pride and the draw to do this.
Yes.
And so you may not always want to or choose to or need to offer an incentive.
Yeah, that's a good argument. I think I've spoken to other people on this podcast who said they've had a big bounty in place where,
yes.
and it just ends up people just wanting to make money and they're not actually referring the best people. They just
yes.
try to blanket everyone they know.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So may not drive the right behavior. Initiatives. Have you got any initiatives you're particularly proud of that our listeners should be checking out?
there are a lot of initiatives that we feel proud of. Many of our markets have really, really strong activations and campaigns that over the years have gone from strength to strength. And these could be leader talks or initiatives that give more access to finding out about Unilever, case study competitions. Mm-hmm. But if I were to pick one, my personal favorite would be what we call Future Leaders League. Future Leaders League is something that we started 5 or 6 years ago. And at one level, you could look at it as a business case competition, which has grown from strength to strength. But actually, it is something very different. And I talk about this with a lot of personal feeling because in one of my previous roles, I was charged with job of creating this property for Unilever.
Oh, wow.
And okay. The real thing, the real sort of the USP, the thought behind this was that at the heart of our employee value proposition is that we build leaders. We build leaders for Unilever. And Unilever leaders sometimes go on from Unilever to be leaders elsewhere in the world. And therefore, we wanted to do something which would contribute to the first leadership development input that those in the early stages of their careers would experience. Because we are very, very proud of the quality of leadership development training that we offer to people. And we wanted to do that for people who may come and work for Unilever or who may not come work for Unilever. But so the vehicle is that you have local brand case study competitions and you have winners identified in each of these markets, and they then sort of get identified for a finale. But actually the thought behind it is much deeper, that they come and spend 3 days with us, they get the opportunity to interact with real leaders, experience what real leadership is about. And this is to say that no matter where you are in the world, this is your first sort of booster input into becoming a real leader. And the power of the network, where they meet people. Now we have almost 100 participants who come from 30 countries. So the network, the opportunity to engage with people like them and build these networks that could be lifelong. And that is the thought behind Future Leaders League. And we generally partner with one of our brands. We have a real case study which we ask students to come up with a solution on, and it's generally a case study with a sustainability problem at its heart.
Yeah.
So that's what.
And out of 100 people going through this, how many end up working for Unilever, you think?
We don't keep track. The thing.
Okay.
I mean, there are quite a few who might come back to us for an internship, who might go on to work for Unilever. But like I said, that's really not the intent.
Right.
And so I wouldn't have a number.
Okay. Great. Okay. And along the journey, how I'm sure you've hit some brick walls. Have you got any hard lessons that you can share with us?
The one thing I would say is that one can take attractiveness of a company, of an employer brand for granted till it goes away.
Right.
And I've been part of a business which had always enjoyed this position of being very attractive and, you know, getting the best of the best. And you also hear conversations in the business where people say, is all this effort worth it? Why should we put in so much money and resource? What is the ROI on employer brand?
Yeah.
And that is the point where, you know, you're really at the edge of the cliff. And that is a real watch out, because in that business, at that point in time, we took our foot off the pedal. And nothing happened in the first few years, because obviously the power of an employer brand is not something that fades in a year or two.
Mm.
But slowly and slowly, we started seeing it in the quality of talent that would turn up for interviews, in the number of people who would slowly start accepting other offers, who would list other companies as dream employers. And then again, as like I said, slowly and slowly we saw rankings beginning to dip. And more important than any ranking is the quality of talent that you hire. It's not something that you show that shows up immediately. But luckily for us, I think that some of these indicators gave us a real jolt. And we reset and we came back with a bang. But that was a real moment of humility. And that was a lesson that I won't forget.
Right. Okay. And we turn to technology. Is there any specific piece of tech that you cannot live without in an employment brand perspective?
It's funny, you're living perfectly well till you have a piece of technology or an innovation, and then you wonder how you would do without it.
Yeah.
And so a number of innovations. There's one that's been talked about that you might have heard of, where we launched a digital recruitment process in many markets, in more than 50 markets, for early careers hiring. And this uses gamification and artificial intelligence to reduce biases in selection. And this has improved hiring efficiency, reached a broader base of candidates, and really increased candidate engagement. So that's one that I'd like to talk about. Recently, in our Turkish business, we launched a reverse mentoring platform. And it's a platform which allows business leaders to engage with the students, of course, but technology on its own can only do so much. There always has to be a bigger employer brand thought. And here the bigger employer brand thought was around business leaders connecting with millennials and future generation leaders to understand insight for themselves, insights for the business. And so this reverse mentoring idea came up, and the platform really allows online matching between a student reverse mentor and a Unilever business mentee. So that's again a very interesting technology innovation. And then we use a host of social media platforms in quite creative ways to create engagement on a sort of an ongoing basis.
Fantastic. And the million-dollar question: how do you measure return on investment on employer brand?
Going back to the question where you asked me what was my hardest lesson learned, the one thing I would say is that the return on investment of an employer brand is bigger than what one might see through metrics and measurement tools. And therefore, it's the intangible impact which is really the biggest. But if you ask me, how would I know? I was reading, something many years ago, which stuck with me, that if you want to measure the impact of an initiative, you have to look at three things. What are the conversations in the hallways? What is sort of the external press, being saying about this? And what are the measurements or the metrics showing? And for employer brand, I would say the hallway conversations are, what are the online conversations about us? Like I said, what are the conversations happening about us that we don't control? So what is being said on social networking sites? What are prospective hires? What are mid-career recruits saying about us? The second is, talking about metrics specifically. We have a number of measures that look at people, how many applicants we have, how many people are accepting offers. One very interesting one is an employer brand index, which promotes the use of social listening and conversations that are happening around us online to come to a composite view of what is sort of the success of the employer brand, and this is something that we can start to track over time. So these are some of the measures that we use.
Fantastic. Okay. Sorry, so we have lots of employer brand managers from around the world listening to this right now. What would be your top three tips to them?
My first tip to them would be, do this, take this role on if you feel real passion and if you feel it in your bones. Because employer brand is something that you cannot do as one more thing. It's not just a job. You have to feel true passion for this. The second thing is that no matter what people say, and there will be a lot of people who will say, what is the ROI? Why do this? Have a clear rationale for why this makes sense for your business, and then stick to that no matter what the challenge and what the questions are. The second thing is learn from the marketers in your business. Use the same science, use the same techniques, build a science around it. It's not just something which is fluffy and creative. The third is the more you enroll employees and business leaders to take ownership for this, the easier your work becomes, because then you create a cascading impact which is far greater than the effort that you have to put in.
Great. Okay. And if we look beyond Unilever, what other employer brands out there inspire you and why?
There's one that that's quite close to my heart for a number of reasons. It's Lego. Close to my heart because I spend a lot of time at home clearing up after my son, who has mountains of Lego bricks, and also because I quite enjoy building some of those models with him. But seriously speaking, this brand appeals to me because, like Unilever, Lego is a brand which has a clear purpose at its heart, which is about fostering the creative development of children. Having spoken to some people from Lego, what I understand and what I've understood about how they work on this is authentic. What they say about their brand is really, really translates into end-to-end employee experience that employees feel. And again, it's not something which is just about campaigns. In fact, they do very little marketing, but it's really the authenticity, the processes reflect that, and that's what I find interesting.
Great. Okay. And if we look into the crystal ball, what do you think is next for employer brand?
I would say it really goes back to the question you asked me, where I said that the biggest challenge is that it's the unknown. The context is changing at a pace which is unprecedented, and everything that we knew to be a given is no longer a given. So being able to deal with the paradoxes and having the agility to flex what we want to do is a big part of the future. I don't think employer brand is an HR agenda, but it's a business agenda. And we have to start looking at leaders as brand advocates and employees as our ambassadors. And that is the future of employer branding, because increasingly the integration between an employer brand and employee experience is greater, and therefore the channels of engagement and channels of hiring have to start coming closer and closer. And the other thing is that if what you say and what people experience is not in sync, then word gets out very fast. And so increasingly building open channels of communication, listening, those are some of the things that I see in the future.
Yeah, fantastic. Right, so final question. Where can our listeners learn more about the employer brand work that you do? And Anu, where can they connect with yourself?
I'm on LinkedIn. They can write to me or at Unilever. Make sure you follow us on LinkedIn, where you can get real-time updates about life and work at Unilever. You can visit our Unilever company and career site. We are on Facebook, Instagram. Very easy.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
All right. I hope that was useful. Everything Anu and I discussed will, of course, be in a show notes article, which you'll be able to find at employerbrandingpodcast.com. Now, I would recommend checking out the video titled Unilever, You Are More Than Your Job Title on YouTube. And also check out the hashtag Uniquely Unilever on Twitter, Instagram, and other places to get a feel for, to get the flavor for the new EVP and the employer brand activation. Also, if you fancy checking out what your employer brand index score might be, just like Anu and Unilever, then check out employerbrandindex.co. So click on to employerbrandindex.co. Okay, that is it for this week. Many thanks for tuning in and look forward to catching up next time. Hey-do! Now, let's do this joke.
Don't let your employer brand be one.